Well, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 is going to be the subject of our sermon tonight, our message. Going to be preaching for a character of the Christmas story. We know, go ahead, throw out some of the names of the characters there in the Christmas story. Who can you give me? Go ahead, brother. Mary. Who else we got? Go ahead, shout them out. Joseph, Jesus. Herod, and Gabriel. Yep. All right, very good. So we're going to be taking a look specifically at one of these characters here tonight. And so if you're there in Matthew chapter 1, I invite you to please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to look at verses 18 through 25 here tonight. So Matthew chapter 1. Starting our reading at verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And so tonight I look forward to preaching a message over the character of Joseph, the man Joseph, and what we can learn from his life, from what the Bible tells us about him. And perhaps also from what the Bible doesn't tell us about him. So I look forward to getting to that a little bit more in detail as we get into our message. So may God bless the reading of his word as you're seated. We'll get started here tonight. So one interest of my mom's is to track our family's genealogy. My mom has really gotten pretty into it, and she's traced our family history back, I don't even know how many generations now, well back into the 1600s, I'm sure, and perhaps even earlier than that. She's always digging around, trying to find some more. But even I can recall when I was younger, I really enjoyed sitting around and listening to my grandparents tell stories about their childhood, and also some of their parents and their grandparents even. And it's something that, you know, I think I would probably enjoy that today. Even with my own kids, if they ask about, hey, what was Peepaw like when he was a teenager? It's like, well, I can remember this one time he told me he was riding a motorcycle and almost drove it through his parents' front window. Stories like that. And you hear about the hard times that your family had gone through. You hear about the interesting things. You hear about the time they persevered and of the strong people in your family. You hear about the heroes. You hear about the goats. No, not the greatest of all times. I mean the black sheep, I should say. You find some interesting things. You uncover perhaps some skeletons in your family's closets. And in these discussions, you learn much about what the actions of your ancestors mean in your life today. Sometimes you can go back and pinpoint, if this ancestor over here did not do what they did, either I wouldn't exist today or my life today would be drastically different. It's really interesting when you can make those connections. You can learn a lot from your family tree. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a part of Jesus' family tree. We know that Jesus was divinely conceived, so we understand that on his father's side, well, it's just a straight line, God. In fact, he is God, so there's really not much of a line there. However, we do know that God chose Joseph to be his earthly parent. his earthly father. And Joseph has a very special lineage as well. And since this is the Christmas season, we do want to focus on the events that led to his birth. Again, that's what Christmas is all about, the birth of Christ. And just like we can learn from our family tree, there is much to learn about God through the family tree of Jesus. So let's see what we can learn from this God-chosen man, the earthly father of Jesus, the man Joseph. Well, let's take a closer look at Joseph. Well, first of all, we know this about him. He was a carpenter. He was a man that built things out of wood. If you were to look at Matthew 13:55, it'd say, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Joseph wasn't a high-profile individual. He wasn't the social elite, you could say. He probably wouldn't even stand out in a crowd. He could blend right in. He was a simple man making a living, blue-collar kind of guy. He knew what hard work was, and he wasn't afraid of hard work. He earned his living with his hands. We also know that he lived in Nazareth, which was located in Galilee. We see that in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, I mentioned it this morning. Actually, I was thinking of Bethlehem. Nazareth, however, was also not some metropolitan city. Bethlehem was fairly small. Nazareth, even smaller. It was a little town out in the middle of the hill country. You could say that he was a hillbilly. He was a country boy. It was a little town out in the middle of nowhere, about 90 to 100 miles away from Jerusalem, which in that day and age is good. Might as well have been 1,000 miles because of the way you had to travel. So Joseph, country boy, blue collar, hard-working man. We also know that he was a just man. Well, how do we know that? Well, we just read it here in verse 19. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, I'm just saying this. If the Bible says you're a just man, I want to take that you're a just man. Because who is the author of the Bible? None other than God himself. The Holy Spirit, under holy men of God, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the New Testament, wrote the Old Testament, and so we know this book is divinely inspired. And so if the Bible says, Joseph, you were a just man, then I know Joseph was a just man. It means he was a godly man. He was good. He was God-fearing. Now, was he perfect? No. He was like you and I. He made mistakes. He was human. He wasn't perfect by any means, but then again, he didn't really stand out in that he wasn't like a super bad guy either. He didn't have a reputation. Like, oh, Joseph. That wasn't him. He just lived a good, clean life. We also know this. He was engaged to a woman named Mary. Verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. So, in our passage here, Joseph, that word espoused means husband-to-be, fiancé, you could say in the way we would say it. Now, he was probably an excited man. Let's see. I don't see anyone here that's engaged. Most of the men in here are either of married age or not quite ready to get married yet. So, but thinking back to your engagement, if you have been married, men, you were pretty excited. I know I was excited. I can remember when I actually asked the question, embarrassed her, and I didn't do it to embarrass her, but asked her in front of a whole bunch of people. Miss Diane, oh no. I thought it was a great idea at the time. But anyways, she said yes, and I was so excited. I was the happiest man in the world. I could walk on water. I could float around in the clouds. Man, the most beautiful woman in the world said she was going to marry me. I'm a lucky guy. And so Joseph, I can imagine, he's just as excited. He's espoused to Mary, They're ready to start a new life together. And things are probably looking up for Joseph. He had worked hard, and now he was about to marry a good young woman. So for him, things probably could not get any better. But we also see this. He suffered a huge blow in his life. He found out his beautiful bride-to-be was with child, and it wasn't his. When you look at everything going on in his life, you can imagine the shock he received when he found out Mary was pregnant. His whole world probably came crashing down on top of him, utterly devastated. I mean, how much worse could it get? One moment he's on top of the world, next he's been shot down by a surface-to-air missile. Just, he's crashed. He's burning up. But even then, we know this about Joseph. He was looking for a way to protect Mary. Even in what appeared to be the most utter, horrible betrayal that couldn't get any worse, I mean, his fiance is now with child that's not his. Any man could easily look at that situation and be like, that no good two-timing person. I don't care what happens to you. You deserve it. And would have been perfectly fine making the public example out of her that was customary in their culture. But not Joseph. He was still looking for a way to protect Mary. But then we get down to verse number 20. And we see this, that God revealed his will to him. God came in a dream to Joseph, gave Joseph this dream with an angel. So Joseph, he's lying in bed, devastated. He gets this dream. And the Lord revealed to Joseph that Mary's pregnancy was one like never before, nor ever will be. Joseph, this is not what you think it is. In fact, this is a whole lot bigger, but in a good way. Fear not. Don't be afraid to take Mary to be thy wife. God told Joseph that he was going to be a part of the most important event ever. We talked about it just this morning. It wasn't just any baby that was born that day 2,000 years ago. It was the baby. The one baby the entire world had been waiting for. And Joseph gets to be a part of it. And he was going to be the earthly father of the most important person that ever lived. So what did Joseph do? He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed God. Now, can you imagine what's going on through Joseph's mind? Here was the woman he was to marry, pregnant, and God said it was okay. I don't know. I find that very humorous. It's just, wow, this doesn't seem like it should be. But it was. And we know Joseph trusted the word of the Lord because he went ahead and he followed through with it. He went and he married Mary. And in Bethlehem, shortly thereafter, a few months later, we see that the Messiah was born. And so Joseph had a new role in life. He was to act as the earthly father of Jesus. The Bible tells us he carried Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, as a father was to do. We see that he took his family to Egypt to save Jesus from Herod, as any father protecting his family would have done. We see that he took Jesus to Nazareth and raised him as his own. He taught Jesus his trade. Jesus was a carpenter. He was concerned for Jesus' well-being, and he treated Jesus as if he were his own very son. Joseph took his role seriously. But then something interesting happens. Joseph faded away into obscurity. We lose track of him after this. After the temple episode, we never hear from Joseph again. Never hear about him, anything. And no one actually knows for sure what happened to him. Did he die when Jesus was young? Did he die when Jesus was a teenager? Did he just not get mentioned anymore and he's still alive? We don't know. I believe he passed away probably when Jesus was probably in his 20s, just a guess. The reason I believe that, because Jesus was a skilled carpenter. He learned from his dad. And also, Jesus told John on the cross, to, hey, look after my mom. Look after my mom and take care of her. I don't think Jesus would have done that if Joseph was still in the picture. So what can we learn from this life of Joseph? All of that, pointing things out about Joseph, was really to bring us to this point. What is it about him that we can learn from? Well, we can learn that there is a blessing in living a righteous life. There is a special, one-of-a-kind blessing that can only come in living a righteous life. Joseph was a just man, and he did not get caught up with the world and the way, and its way of life. He lived that good, godly life. And because of his character, God chose him. I strongly believe if Joseph was not of good character, he wouldn't be in the Bible. He wouldn't be in the Christmas story, as we would call it. He would not have been chosen by God to be the earthly father of Christ. But because of his character, God chose to use him. Now, most of us will never be recognized outside of our family and friends. That's just life. And you know what? That's okay. That's fine. This world is tugging at us to leave a godly life behind and jump into their world of sin. And it's a struggle at times to live that good and godly life. And sometimes it may even feel like it's not worth it. Like, man, look at everything I have to sacrifice to live for God. Look at all I have to give up. Look at what all I can't do because I have to live for God. I don't know if it's worth it. I see how much fun my lost friends are having over there. Man, see what I'm missing out on. But you know, character is everything to God. God blesses those who live for him. The blessings may not be material or physical blessings, but God takes care of his own. He does not forsake his own. And we can learn from Joseph that there is a blessing in living a good and godly life. Here's the truth of the matter. God can use anybody that will allow him to. It's really that. God can use anyone who will let him. God can use you. God can use me. God can use anyone as long as they let him. Joseph, again, he was a carpenter. He was from some hillbilly town out in the way, middle of nowhere. In God's using of people, your place in life does not figure into the equation. It doesn't matter if you are this high-valued business tycoon. It doesn't matter if you're a garbage collector or anywhere in between. That does not a factor in whether or not God can use you. If you have a pulse and a heart to serve God, guess what? God can use you. There's no hindrance to that. God is looking for people who make themselves available to him. Joseph, again, was not high society. He wasn't some kind of rocket scientist or anything special like that, but he allowed God to use him. So don't worry about whether God can use you. Don't fret over that. Just simply make yourself available. Make yourself available to God and then watch him work. It's as simple as that. We can learn from Joseph that God will use anyone who will allow him to. But being in God's will brings us to what is called a crisis of belief. A crisis of belief. Joseph had a crisis. His bride-to-be was pregnant, and this brought a crisis to his life. Would he carry out his own plan, or would he follow God? Would he put Mary away privily and do what he would esteem to be the honorable thing and not make a public example out of her? Will he go through with that, or will he follow God's plan? In the book Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby said that God's call always brings a crisis of belief. That means that God's call will force you to move beyond yourself. There are probably people here this evening who are in a crisis of belief right now. God's call is a challenge to the comfort zone that you have built up for yourself. But remember, it's God who's calling. remember that. It's not just pastor up here saying, live a godly life and you will be blessed. That's true. But if you are really facing a challenge to the comfort zone you've built up for yourself, and you know God is speaking to you and saying, hey, I want you to do something. I want you to do this. And you're really wrestling with that thought. It's okay to, you know, have that discomfort because it's uncomfortable. But don't forget who it is that's calling. It's God who's calling. God's call is a challenge to the comfort zone that we have. He has never made a mistake, and he always prepares the way for those he calls. I like the expression, God does not call the equipped. Rather, God equips the called. It goes back to, God can use anybody, whether you're skilled or not. Whether you feel like you have all the talent in the world or you feel you have no talent at all. It all comes down to whether or not you'll let God use you. Will you allow God to use you to do something magnificent for him? This is the only life you've got, and the only chance in this world to be called a person of God. So trust in God and go with him. Being in God's will calls for obedience. Joseph obeyed God and entered into God's will. His obedience allowed him to see and do many great things. Is it once you break through your own crisis of belief, you have to obey in order to move forward. How many people here today are stuck in a rut? Okay, you don't have to say you are right this moment, but have you ever been stuck in a rut before? Oh, I know I have. It's not fun. It's just your wheels are spinning, but nothing's happening. You're stuck. And so many people here today, maybe not necessarily in this room, but here in our world, are stuck in a rut. They're not growing in Christ because they're refusing to obey. They're refusing to acknowledge the call God is giving to them. You will never see the things of God until you submit to him and obey him. And we can learn from Joseph that being in God's will calls for obedience. Being in God's will may not always bring the spotlight. A big shout out and thank you to those who are involved in making sure we have a nice, clean facility to worship the Lord in. A big thank you to all those who are involved behind the scenes, making sure the ministry here can continue on. It may not always bring the spotlight, but you do a very important work, and we're very grateful for you. Joseph, he did all God asked him to do, everything. But after Jesus was 12 years old, we hear nothing more of Joseph. It's like he disappeared. So if you're looking for fame and fortune, I'm just telling you now, being in God's will is not for you. If that's what you're after, looking to be recognized, looking to have the spotlight shown on you and saying, hey, look at me and how awesome I am, being in God's will may not be for you. But I strongly encourage you to change your motives, because there's no better place to be than in God's will. If you want the spotlight and attention, that means you're taking the glory away from God. But if you want to be used by the creator of the world, simply follow and obey God. It's really that basic. I almost said simple, but sometimes it's hard. It's really that basic, though. Just follow and obey God. If you want to see the King of Kings use you to make a difference in this world, give yourself to him. Surrender yourself to God. Because God's will is about him, not us. After all, it's his will, right? God's will. God used Joseph to bring glory to himself. God's not looking to make you or me a star. God has bigger plans in mind than that. He wants to bring glory to himself and then people to heaven. So don't follow God to see what you can get out of it. Yes, we get blessed when we're following the Lord. Yes, God richly blesses us, but that's not why we follow him. That's like the fringe benefits of following God. We don't do it for the blessings. We just get blessed while we do it. I hope that makes sense. So follow God because that's the right thing to do. Follow God because you know that would honor Him and bring Him glory. And then, hey, praise Him when you get to experience all those blessings. So let's just follow God and point to Him as the only one worthy of all glory and honor. I appreciate all the folks that come up after service and would be like, hey, Pastor, great sermon, or hey, whatever. And, you know, I appreciate that, but I'm always careful to say, praise the Lord. Hey, it's by God's grace. Because I want to make sure that I don't take and receive any of the credit from God. If you were blessed by the message, praise Him. It's His word, not mine. I'm just the vessel He's using to bring it to your ears. And so, don't stop. I mean, this just got awkward. It's like, it's not about me. Anyways, I'm going to stop digging that hole and move on. Just like God called Joseph, God calls people to Him. He may be calling you to go deeper in your relationship with Him. He may have brought you to a crisis of belief where you just need to trust in Him. You know what? It may not make sense. God's telling me to marry my pregnant fiance who's pregnant with not my child? That's a crisis of belief. It does not make sense. But he knew God was telling him, marry her. I've got a plan. And this is my work. This is my doing. And you will be blessed out of this. And so that's what Joseph did. He pushed through his crisis of belief by trusting that God knows best. That's what we need to do. Even when we don't understand what God is doing, just trust God. He's God. He's in control. Have that faith. He may be calling you into a saving relationship with Him today. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never trusted in Him alone for your salvation. Maybe that is the crisis of belief that God is putting you in right now. You will never know the blessings of life until you hear and obey the calling of the Lord. So if you're struggling with following God in your life, I understand. It's not easy. But it is the best place to be when you put yourself and allow God to use you in accordance with His will. And that goes with if you don't know the Lord. If you've never trusted Christ alone for your salvation, the first thing you need to do in order to get into God's will is to surrender your own. Trust God with your life. There's no one more capable of handling it. We can all just look back over our life and see how we have handled it and how many times we've bungled it up. And then consider God's track record. Perfection. Not a single mistake, always blessing, always providing, always taking care of. That's the hands I want my life in. I know they won't get messed up that way. Yeah, Pastor, but what if, you know, I get persecuted? What? Oh, what if I die? Okay. If that's what brings God glory, then I know that's what's best. Because I know God's not going to just throw my life away like it's nothing. God's going to use it to its fullest extent to accomplish His will and His purpose. If that means I find myself in a situation or in a place where staying firm with the truth will get me killed, I pray God gives me the strength to stay firm. And then if I were to die, then I would die. I don't want to, but at the same time, I know that if God brings me to that spot, there's a point, there's a purpose. He's going to receive glory out of it, and perhaps, probably some souls are going to get saved. And to me, that's worth it. My temporal life on this earth means nothing compared to the eternal life of anyone. If one person can escape the clutches of hell because it cost me my life, That's a no-brainer. It's worth it. I know where I'm going when I die. It's going to be better than here. This world, not like this place. So for me to give up my temporal, physical life here on earth in order for someone to gain eternal life, hey, that's worth it for me. So do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the number one question that you need to answer. If the answer is no, that can all change today. That can all change tonight. You don't have to walk out those doors in the same state that you're in, coming in. You can leave a changed person. You can leave born again. The Bible calls it in 2 Corinthians, 5:14, 5:17, I think, about a new creature. You can experience that rebirth. If that's your need tonight, I want to invite you. We'll have a time of invitation. If Brother Grace, you want to come, and Miss Diane, if you want to. If not, that's okay. We'll have a time of invitation. If you need to do some business with the Lord, if you've been brought to a crisis of belief, I want to encourage you. Come forward. Use the altars, or if you want to, right there in your seat. Do business with the Lord. But I'd love nothing more than to take my Bible and show you from it and it alone how you can be 100% certain heaven will be your home. And so if that is your need tonight, I want to invite you to come as we all stand, and I'll close this message in a prayer, but do come during this time of invitation. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the truth. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I just pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us push through any crisis of belief we may be experiencing at this time and just follow you in obedience. God, we love you so much. Help us to give our lives to you wholly and completely. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.